Yesterday, U.S. military prosecutors announced that they'll seek the death penalty against six detainees held at the U.S. base at Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, charged in connection with the attacks on 9/11. Last fall, photographer Louis Palou traveled to Guantanamo Bay to photograph the detention facilities there. His pictures of the prison are featured in the January issue of The Atlantic magazine. You can find a link to them on our website at npr.org/talk. Louis Palou is with us here in Studio 3A. Nice to have you on Talk of the Nation today.
Oh, thanks for having me.
And how did you arrange to go to Guantanamo Bay?
Well, I had been hired by a newspaper in Toronto to photograph two of the lead prosecutors. One of the detainees is a Canadian. And I went to photograph them, and they turned to me and the reporter and said, "So are you coming to Gitmo?" The reporter said, "Yes." And I kind of looked and said, "Well, yeah, I'd like to go." And the reporter looked at me and smiled and said, "It's a little more complicated than that, but quite simple." And they put me in contact with the Public Affairs Division that handles Guantanamo Bay within the Department of Defense. And I went through the paperwork, and I applied for it like you'd apply for any sort of embedding that you do, say, in Iraq or Afghanistan. It would just suits the situation at the detention facility.
Mm-hmm. And when you got there, were you allowed to take pictures of anything you wanted to?
Not everything. I think the rules would pretty much follow like any other prison. No video cameras, the distance of the detention center to any sort of land features or water so that people would know where it was, the types of locks or gates they had, basic stuff like that. I'd say maybe the only thing that was different, and they base it on the Geneva Convention, is to not make a spectacle of any of the detainees. So no photographing frontal pictures of the detainees or the guards that work there for mm-hmm. their own safety, and no identifiable features. So you'd use silhouettes or you'd hide parts of their identity to try and get photos of them.
And did they check to make sure that you weren't taking the wrong kind of pictures?
Yes. Part of the agreement you agree to up front is that at the end of each day, there are two people from the Department of Defense who review your photographs, and they review everybody's photographs. And any that are deemed not within the rules, they want to delete. And you can only shoot digitally there. This applies for television as well. So you have to have a computer or editing equipment to be able to play back what you shot that day. And I must say that I almost was able to work within the spirit of the guidelines. There are a few photos where they thought, "Hey, I'd like you to have this." I was almost surprised that they said, "Hey, I'd like you to have this."
Mm-hmm.
But this, I can't. And some of the arguments went, I took one photo three or four officers up. And some I kept and some
so
I didn't.
So you appealed higher up.
Yeah, and it was never angry. It was very friendly. And they kept calling down another officer. And they found some of the photos visually interesting and that they'd be of importance to citizens to see. But I think some I lost. The argument was that even the detainees' lawyers would not like it because it would show their client.
Mm-hmm.
And that they feel their client's innocent, the photo would taint any sort of case for them.
So they weren't unreasonable?
Never with me. No.
So as you walked around, what did it look like? I mean, we could see your pictures.
Yeah.
But what did it feel like?
It almost felt unreal because I had heard about it for so long. And then suddenly I'm like, wow, I'm in Guantanamo Bay. And it's very warm and humid. It's Cuba. It felt strange. It was very quiet. It was one of the only times it had rained there during a media tour. So right away, there was another photographer there as well. They tour several people at the same time. And he thought, oh my God, it's raining. And I thought, wow, this has got to be positive. And I used it to my advantage. I made reflections with the water, and it helped me with the kind of photos I thought would at least take viewers to a new place.
Mm-hmm. There's one that it's in your gallery. It's in
yes.
the magazine. You can see the reflections of a soldier's boots, certainly
yep.
not his face.
Yeah, definitely. And it seemed like what I would think any maximum security prison was like, except that me knowing that this was not just any regular maximum security prison, that the prisoners here were definitely in the minds and in the eyes for what they could see of the world.
There is one picture that I suspect is going to become pretty well known, and that's of a Quran that's sort of suspended on a surgical mask, which is hung from the bars of one of the cells.
Yes, that's pretty common, and that I guess becomes something of great discussion because of alleged abuse of the Quran. And, you know, the Quran can never touch the ground. And, you know, I was just in Afghanistan and I was with Afghan troops and they were trying to teach me verses out of the Quran. And I wrote it down in English and I had it in my hand. And they said, hey, make sure you put that in the top of the tent. Never let it touch the ground because in their religion, it should never touch the ground.
In that picture we were talking about before, the reflection, there's
yes.
also an arrow in that picture.
Yeah, and it was almost strange. If you looked at it in a more abstract way, there are arrows kind of directing you in all sorts of directions depending on where you were in the detention facility, and there's several different camps that house different levels of detainees. And there's these arrows all the time, and if someone didn't tell you, you'd think, what are these arrows pointing at? And it was to Mecca. It is so the detainees know the direction of Mecca because they must always pray in the direction of Mecca.
We're talking with Louis Palu, a photographer. His pictures are published in an article called Inside Guantanamo in the January issue of The Atlantic. And again, you can get a link to look at some of those pictures at our website, npr.org/talk. And you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And Louis, you mentioned that there are several different facilities at Guantanamo Bay. As you looked at them, what are the differences?
Well, Camp 1 and 2, there's six camps. Camp 1 and 2 and up to 4, before 4, sorry, are almost not as much in use anymore. Before that, there was Camp X-Ray, which is, you know, there's that shocking image that we've all seen of the prisoners in the orange jumpsuits with dogs and being dragged by guards. I never saw that at all. It's not like that anymore. And actually, that facility was originally for illegal immigrants or different refugees escaping into the naval station from Cuba or mm-hmm. other surrounding islands.
And not intended for long-term occupancy.
No, not at all. And I think that with the 9/11, the invasion of Afghanistan, suddenly I think everybody thought, hey, now where are we going to put everybody here? And The naval station's been there for over 100 years, and the detention center's only a small part. And, you know, what's the most surreal part is not the detention center. It's when you go to the naval station and you leave the detention center, there's McDonald's, there's Starbucks, there's wireless internet. I mean, there's different areas where people live. Where I stayed, it's like, you know, it could be a street anywhere in small-town America.
In Florida, pretty humid and warm.
Exactly. Yeah, actually, no one's left the door open. A little crab ran across the floor into the room while I was editing photos, and I thought it was very strange hearing the clickety-click of the crab walk by. But back into the detention center, we got to Camp 4, and we went from Camp 1 up. We got to Camp 4, and this is an open-air area, and this is for detainees who have been cooperative, and they live in, I think it's about groups of 10, and there's a large kind of soccer field recreation area that's not caged in the center of it. And they can come as they go out of their cells, and the 10 cells are not separated by anything, so they got separate doors for each. So they live communally, and I assume that they have access to many more things than the people in the more higher security and newer detention facilities, which are Camp 5 and 6. Mm-hmm. There is when I saw my first detainee, and they walk freely, and they're curious, and they look out at us. We're 10, 20 feet away, walking around with some with books in their hands. And I did mention in the web piece for The Atlantic that the most popular book, which everybody finds humorous, and why wouldn't you, that Harry Potter is the most popular book.
Harry Potter?
Yes.
Not what you'd expect.
No, but it's in 19 languages as well. So you can see it in Arabic, and you can see it in pretty much all the other languages they have there that support the detainee population.
You didn't get a chance to talk with any of the detainees?
No, you're not allowed to talk to the detainees. No communication is allowed with the detainees. That's a rule. The rules are set out quite clearly before you even go, and you sign pretty much what is an agreement with the Department of Defense, the Joint Task Force, which is from the Pentagon, from all branches of the military.
And as you take away an impression of it, nobody wants to serve years in any situation.
Yes.
Certainly not years where you may not see any end to it. There's no process. But if you had to serve, is this a terrible place?
Well, that's a very difficult question to answer. I this is my own personal feeling, is that the issue is amongst many of the people that I've talked to that, you know, I came back, everybody's asking me, oh, what's it like? What's it like? And I'd say that the prison is not any more terrible than probably any other maximum security prison in the United States. I think the issue that most Americans who've talked to me is that they want them to have a trial. I think it has nothing to do with closing down the facility, because the facility is probably monitored more than most maximum security prisons in the States. It's got a smaller population, and there's so much scrutiny. So I came away with it that I think any place of punishment, like a prison, is a terrible place. But I think we leave it to the Constitution and our laws to decide whether you're supposed to be there or not.
Louis Palu, thanks very much for your time today. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Louis Palu is a photographer. His photographic essay, Inside Guantanamo, is published in the January issue of The Atlantic. Again, you can go to npr.org/talk. There's a link.